Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
Welcome, welcome, guys. Pottercast 190.
190.
And we are without our fearless leader, Melissa, so we shall do our best.
Aww.
Because we recruited a substitute replacement, Melissa.
Yay.
And her name is Bree.
Hey, wait, let's clear this up right now. I'm not Bree Bishop. Stop saying I'm Bree Bishop. I'm not Bree Bishop.
I know the difference.
I know, but there were comments, I'm like, no.
That would have been favoritism. Her name is Bree Melvin, not to be confused with Melvin Melissa.
And she is a Ravenclaw, so she'll be wearing the Gryffindor colors for us.
Yes.
And she's an art major, so I kind of like
her. And she is the first of our series of Melissa replacements for the next 3 weeks that Melissa is gone. But you might have also heard her in episode 190 in the Smarter Than John Noe segment.
I was not in the Smarter Than John Noe segment.
You will be.
Oh, wait, 190? I was thinking back to a live show or something that I was in.
We're doing the time turner. That's what I was confused about, but I forgot you
were. We all hop in there. It'll be fun.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so anyway, with Melissa in New York, we'll move on. Not New York, Melissa in Italy. We will move on and start out with the news. Suze, what's going on in the news?
My most favorite thing to start the news, favorite topic, everyone knows. Ready for it? I won't squeak, but it starts with the words Jason Isaacs, everyone!
And what's he up to?
Jason he's going to be Lady Gaga. No, not sort of. He is. I know, and it sounds crazy. Jason has recently made a couple of interviews and made a guest appearance on the Jonathan Ross program, which aired in UK. And we have video up on Leaky if you go there. But during the interview, Jason was speaking about his look and his character, how it's changed through the years, and he was kind of joking that in Deathly Hallows he's going to look like Lady Gaga for his new look. He was funny.
Wow.
I know, but... It was a brilliant, funny interview. He spoke a bit about how he found out that Lucius wasn't in Deathly Hallow, or I'm sorry, in Half-Blood Prince, and, you know, when he was doing a book signing, and he was kind of disappointed. But he is going to be filming his role as Lucius Malfoy in June and July, and then the big bit at the end of the year, which is very exciting. So, we're excited.
Doesn't he have a weird cameo in Half-Blood Prince?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's a good point. You know, he did have, like, a secret cameo, but if you notice, and if people are quick about this, last week we saw these new character posters that were released by Warner Brothers, and if you look at the one of Harry Potter in the background of Dan Radcliffe as Harry Potter, there's all these newspapers, and if you look closely, it said Azkaban's newest resident, and it was that photo of Jason as Lucius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was too distracted by the Photoshop. I couldn't see anything else.
Yeah, I know.
Photoshop.
Aww.
But,
I must have missed that. I don't think I saw that picture.
Yeah, we have Warner Brothers just sent us over the high-res images there in our galleries. But I don't know. So I think what his appearance, if he is just a cameo, it might be just like a moving portrait or something, you know. But he's not technically officially in Half-Blood Prince. But
was the old Pottercast joke that you're going to be like a cut to Azkaban's?
And, him playing a
what was that?
Harmonic or something.
Like, meanwhile, at Azkaban Prison, and there's a picture of Lucius sitting in there.
Did you remember we saw, they did do an outtake of him, and he was sitting there, and he was like, and he has his wanted, like his, he held up, like, you know, the signs that they make, you put up, like, your prisoner ID number, and he had chains on and stuff. It was hilarious photo. It was just, you know, so there's a lot of those little things that we haven't been officially released, but, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get that someday. But he's definitely not, like, officially in movie 6.
Well, he's got a huge, awesome stuff in Deathly Hallows if, you know, they've given it to him.
Yeah, I
pissed off the bug.
You know, but it's really cool because these actors are so forthcoming about their filming. You know, and Jason said he's specifically when he's filming his parts, but you know, most of the main cast, like the adult cast, is filming at the end of the year. So that's when both Fiennes and Rickman are going to be doing. And you can imagine what that Battle of Hogwarts is going to be like. I mean, just
And
especially with the Malfoys, you know, I mean, both him and Narcissa running through, you know, trying to save, get to Draco and stuff. I think that'll be pretty amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a huge announcement we just made, and this is for our keynote speaker at LeakyCon 2009.
Oh, who's that?
Who is that? John and Hank Green. Nerdfighters, woo!
Nerdfighters, hoo-ha.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
We're very, very honored to announce that they're going to be joining us on Friday, May 22nd, and it's a two-hour event. The first part, both John and Hank are going to be live. You know, they're going to be speaking. And then at 3 o'clock, Hank is going to treat us to a special treat. They're going to do a release for their Volume 1, that Don't Forget to Be Awesome. And there's going to be a new song from Hank, so that'll be pretty slick. I like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's very, very cool.
You know what's funny, speaking of LeakyCon, was we've been over here in Club 61, where I live, coming up with funny little ideas of how we want to make some little video promos for LeakyCon, like the toss-up on YouTube. And the funny current one we're thinking right now is we want to turn LeakyCon into a board game and have like a little commercial for like a kid's board game. It's like, hey, kids. I brought you something fun or whatever. Like, oh, what is it? And like, it's LeakyCon. And like, there's this big box and it says LeakyCon on it. And like, you open it up and there's like a board game. And there's like, oh, and look, there's the Vlog Brothers. And look, there's Wizard Rock and the ball. And everybody has like a little spot on the board. And they're like, oh, thank you for this. I don't know. It'll be funny in the video.
Yeah, cool. But the event for the LeakyCon is $30, and the tickets are going fast, and that also includes the 2 hours with them. You'll be able to hang out and talk with the Greens. Plus, we're also having, like, cookies. The Nerdfighters even have cookies.
Cookies?
Yes, cookies.
And milk.
And milk. Isn't that awesome? But, I mean, people are asking why, you know, because a lot of times when the Greens go, it is free, and this is very important. We must remember that LeakyCon is for charity, folks. And this is all for charity. So I know money is, you know, a consideration for people these days, but I hope you would consider going. But tickets are going fast, and this is going to be a lot of fun. And plus, you get cookies. I mean.
Well, hell.
Squee.
They'll be darn good cookies, I guarantee.
I think they will, too.
I will be making them all the prior evening.
And it's definitely worth $30, too, because I remember at Terminus, like, they were there for one whole day, and we just all hung out with them, like, the whole day at the Bean. It was fantastic.
That's so awesome.
Yes, and you are going to get to see them. They will be around. It's not like they're just going to be the only time, but I just think that this will be focused on, you know, there's so much to discuss with these guys. These are two, John, of course, is a very accomplished and well-respected author, and so is Hank, you know, with his music and his Echo Green Echo Tech. Did I say that right?
Eco Geek.
Eco Geek. Thank you. Gosh, man, too many things. We have the links on Leaky, but please, if you can or considering registering, please do it now. They are going fast. And our hotel, by the way, is going fast. The double rooms are full up.
Oh.
Yes. So all we have left are like the king and queen size rooms. So, guys, if you're thinking about that, do it soon.
Yeah, I usually.
Yeah. Bree, are you going to be able to come?
No, but I live 5 blocks from the Ascotras Hotel, so I guess that makes up for it.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll get to do something this summer.
I'll go to LeakyCon too, probably, though.
Oh, good. Yes. Yes, yeah. That's
a funny thing.
LeakyCon 2.0 in 2011. So what's next on the news?
Actually a really cool thing. We're starting to see more and more previews of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, and Total Film just had a really great interview, feature on the movie. And this is kind of cool, and I want to talk about this, is because we heard from David Yates, and he was talking about the cinematographer, which we learned for Deathly Hallows, too. But he talked about how Half-Blood Prince is going to be, there's going to be very layered, there's going to be a lot of close-ups and angles in Half-Blood Prince. You know, the pacing of the scenes, it's going to be really rich. And then he's conversing that to what we're going to see in Deathly Hallows, and the Deathly Hallows is going to be shot with loads of handheld cameras.
Really?
That would be really good for the Battle of Hogwarts. really good. If you like just going around the castle handheld the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool new thing that the idea of having the handheld camera but having amazing effects.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when one of the movies from last year, what was it, the big, crazy big alien thing running around New York City. And the whole movie was shot, Cloverfield, yeah. That was such a big deal because it was all motion track perfect. And people are so used to watching a big movie and saying, okay, insert big special effect here. But they're generally shot with a pretty predictable camera. But handheld, that's going to be amazing. And it makes sense, too, like story-wise, because a lot of the movie, they're on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And each camera guy is just like on the run with them. That's going to be really cool.
You know, I just think to me, too, that's a lot more advanced filmmaking. It's like they're really going to really go out all out on the last film. And I just, you know, David Yates said he wants to shake it up every time he goes into the world. And I think, you know, Half Blood Prince will be, but literally, yeah, mm-hmm. you know. It's really, but I'm really excited.
Yes.
Yes.
I loved that part. I just listened to that part recently on the iPod.
I love that part.
I would love to see McGonagall doing anything in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
True.
She has such an awesome bit there from, like, when she captures the Carrows or whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Ravenclaw common room and then confronts Snape and...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it when she realizes Snape caught her, and she just doesn't even flinch. She's just like,
yeah. She's like, whatever.
She's awesome.
I'm going to relay this story. I think we mentioned this when it happened, but back when we got to meet Joe when we were in New York, Joe was speaking to us, and she says that she's looking forward to the scene with Maggie Smith and the Duff because she thinks Maggie Smith will kick butt during that scene, and I think will be just... So hopefully they'll put that in, too, you know? That'd be fabulous.
Yeah.
Can't wait. And then when all the heads of house come to try and fight Snape, and Snape's running away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That's so cool. And then she activates the knights. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Because you called it.
Oh, yeah. I did.
I remember really liking the Ravenclaw scene because, like, I remember about 2 years before the book came out, I just kind of drew out it and it ended up looking exactly the same, so I really liked that chapter because of that.
Oh, awesome. The Ravenclaw common room?
Yeah, like, except for the vain statue of Ravenclaw, I didn't expect that, but the rest of it I got, like, dead on.
The vain statue?
Yeah.
What is going to be there?
Well, I don't think she put it there. I think they put it there in honor and remembrance of her.
Yeah, maybe. Or I can pretend that, or I can just pretend that Luna sculpted it and just was like, here.
Wait, out of hair?
No, I mean here. I mean, like, Luna sculpted it would be hilarious.
All I said, Luna sculpted it out of hair. Like, that
no.
is disgusting.
Ew.
No.
Like, ugh.
Luna's weird.
Not that kind of weird. Not like the girl from Hey Arnold, whatever.
Oh, God. Hell no.
The gum.
The shrine in the closet.
Hair and bubblegum and gum. Popsicle sticks.
Gross.
That's really gross. All right.
Anyway, we digress, obviously.
What the hell is the next topic, Sue?
This is actually a really, really pretty big deal, pretty cool for Miss Jo. J.K. Rowling was a special guest at a dinner held by the U.K. Prime Minister and his wife, Sarah, for the G20 summit that was just taking place in London, England. Jo was a special guest, and she was seated at the dinner for the spouses' wives, and she was seated next to Michelle Obama, who is, of course, the wife of the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Oh, cool.
That's a pretty cool deal.
What is this, it's an
economic world summit that they're having, you know, that sometimes they have it. And Joe is a long time friend of Gordon Brown, who is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom right now. But, you know, the Obamas, if you guys will remember, are big Harry Potter fans. And we heard it, they talked about it and they read the book to the girls and the girls were all excited. So Michelle, I apparently, you know, probably requested to have her sit in that.
Oh, sure.
Can you imagine, though?
I wonder if she had any, like, canon questions for Joe. Like, what was the deal when Harry's mother's ghost came out of the wand before the dad did, because shouldn't it have been the other way around, Joe? Well, Michelle, we went over this a couple years ago, and they fixed it. And
I can imagine they probably had some more important things to talk about, but maybe they did talk about wand order, Joe. I don't know.
They could have.
I suppose so.
Wait. She would have come out first because she died first.
I might have had it backwards, but that was a big debate for a long time, was that they wrote it wrong or whatever.
I love how my copy does have the wand order mistake. I'm like, yay.
Oh, God.
Oh, so good.
Were Joe and Michelle Obama both wearing sleeveless dresses?
I don't know. Joe had it on like a navy thing. I don't think so, and I'm not even going to go to why he's asking about fashion because, but the next day, which is equally cool, and it was kind of a last minute kind of secret thing that Joe accompanied them when they took the wives out while the husbands were doing their meeting and stuff, that they went to the Royal Opera House in London, and Joe gave them a special private reading of Beetle the Bard.
No, cool.
Come on, get out.
I want that.
Yeah, I do too. That would be pretty cool.
You just invite us. You're like, hey, you want to come to this opera house? And you're like,
I'll read you Beetle.
I just think that's pretty, pretty heady business, you know. I mean, and you know, they got treated. You know, the dancers were kind of, I guess, apparently surprised. You know, while this, they come in and you know, oh, by the way, you're going to do your practice session of Giselle, and by the way, you know, all these famous people are going to be sitting here, and oh, and Joel will do.
Wait a second, there were dancers dancing to Beetle?
No. They were at the Royal Opera House. They put on a performance for them, and they were just, it was like a regular, just like, practice day, a rehearsal day.
Okay. So it wasn't like an interpretive dance.
I don't get the comparison.
No, it wasn't Beetle the ballet. It was not.
Beetle, that'd be awesome.
That would be really...
I was like picturing them dancing in a circle, for it's like, hey, it's a fountain.
That would actually be kind of cool. That would be pretty cool,
okay.
Actually.
Maybe. Hey, Sue, do you have in your news the other interesting bit about Beetle this past week?
No, Tom. What are you talking about?
Beetle basically got burned pretty bad at the British Book Awards.
I really didn't want to bring that up because of all the controversy that's going on, but as we remember that Beetle the Bard was up for British Book of the Year and unfortunately was lost out to the Twilight series by...
Oh, my God. It's just such bad luck that, they decided this year for the British Book Awards to forego the usual method of judging and have, like, a room full of 13-year-old girls pick the book instead.
Uh-huh.
And it's just bad luck that it happened to be that your Beetle was up for it because... It really stinks.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, hype. Not really going to go there.
It's funny because right now there's our friends at AccioCon in Florida, which
right.
is like the first real Harry Potter Twilight joint convention, which is very funny. I'm possibly mm-hmm. misguided, but apparently they're having fun out there.
Why are they joined?
I can only imagine when that news was released what they chatted about.
Oh, I can only imagine, yeah. You know, and I really resent, we've talked about this, but I really resent that they have to compare us all the time, you know. And
I mean,
I would think they would resent it more than us because it'd be, like, it's embarrassing for them. But, there's no comparison beyond that they're both popular books. You can't really compare them in any other way than that.
No, I don't know. Can we talk about something that's really pretty cool? Because this is, like, huge, super-duper, more fun news. I have been very excited. I don't know if you listened to us last week, and it'll be coming up, but we were talking about casting. Well, one of the things I was going to do, I was going to scoop, and then he had to go and out-scoop us himself, was that we have a part for Xenophilus Lovegood.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was it. We could report that. And we also can report now that Hazel Douglas is playing Bathilda Bagshot.
I saw that picture.
Yeah,
she's old.
She's perfect. But dude, she's supposed to be.
Yeah,
she's going to be this decrepit thing that is a bag of skin big enough for a snake.
That's going to be so freaky. They see a big snake coming out of the old lady's neck.
I don't know how they're going to do that.
It's not natural. That's not supposed to happen to old lady.
I want
to
know how the snake, like, moves her around with no, like, arms.
Maybe he, like, chews on her nervous system.
Like some sort of weird puppet?
Ventriloquist snake.
Some weird reverse marionette puppet from the inside.
Or magic or something that's in the Harry Potter.
They'll jump the shark.
What movie was it? Was it Men in Black where the little alien gets in the body and like controls the whole thing from that little...
But that was like a robot.
That's a robot. Yeah.
That's right.
But see, I mean, the fact is, I think that they're doing just more with her than just that horrifying scene. I think that she'll probably be a flashback to when they were talking about Rita and stuff. So you know, they can do that. But I think that scene with the snake.
Is Rita coming back?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out. Actually, frankly, I have not been able to get any word from her agent, so I don't know.
Didn't she say that she didn't want to?
I think she is. I think that.
Well, honestly, I don't blame her for being over it because they gave her a crap role in the fourth one. She did a brilliant job with that character.
Yeah.
They gave her crap.
Yeah.
But like, if they can give her a role that actually matters in this one, I would hope she comes back because she was a perfect Rita Skeeter. She was hilarious.
She was for the five minutes
we saw her on camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just don't understand why if you're an actress or an actor and you're being offered any kind of role, like in the Harry Potter movie, the last Harry Potter movie, you turn it down for any reason. I don't understand why you would. See, I want every little character to come back, especially like in the big scene in the Room of Requirement where all of the old Hogwarts people, the old Quidditch players and everybody else comes
back
to fight in the battle.
That'd be great.
Who's that?
Oh.
Where the whole Quidditch team just happens to be there all the time.
Oh, yeah, they all got the word.
Yeah.
Grindelwald in a flashback.
Oliver Wood would be the most impressive.
Oh, Grindelwald,
For me.
Thanks so much.
Like all the way back from Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, wouldn't that be perfect, though? I can see them doing it. I mean, Sean Biggerstaff is, you know, I bet he would do it. He could probably just do that one thing. You know, it wouldn't be too hard for him to get him back. I bet they could do it.
Yeah, if they asked him.
Speaking of an interesting, there was one other report, and I worked very hard on this, and we believe, again, Warner Brothers is not, you can't take any of these yet until Warner Brothers officially announces it, but I believe it to be correct that Jamie Campbell Bower, who is seen in Sweeney Todd and stuff, is in fact going to be playing Grindelwald. This was reported in the Daily Mail, and I think that's... he was a young boy.
Antonio.
What's that? Free?
The kid who liked Joanna Antonio or whatever his name was.
No way, really?
I really like this casting.
Interesting. Do we have casting for a young Dumbledore yet, then?
No, we don't. That's the big mystery.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Is there any, like, any well-known good actor, flamboyantly gay British actors out there right now?
That are not like
Dumbledore's not flamboyantly gay.
Yeah.
Well, Ian McKellen is busy, but playing Gandalf. So
no,
and
he's too old.
Oh, you're not younger?
17.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who they would get. It doesn't. Their sexuality doesn't matter. You just need to look like Gambon, you know. I mean,
that's
it needs
true.
You know. But I think the fact that they're casting young Grindelwald gives me such hope that on what we can expect to see in the script, you know. I just think that this is all just hugely...
Neil Patrick Harris is American, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's suggesting him in the chat.
That'd be interesting.
Oh, my God.
I
would say he's too old.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. How can any 17-year-old look like Gambon, the chat saying? It's like... I don't know what Gambon looked like when he was 17.
You know what Richard Harris looked like when he was, like, 17? But saw him in a movie 3 months ago. Weirdly young. Like, where's your beard?
Zac Efron could play him.
Zac Efron, no!
Zac Efron's playing the young Matthew Perry, so...
The show's a little vulgar.
Awesome. All right, well, what the hell is next?
Well, I think that's pretty much it. I just have a little rumor. I'm going to pass a little special to Pottercast.
Uh-oh.
I don't know when I'm going to say this, but I think that we got two little things. I think we should look for a really, really, really huge name to be playing Scrimshaw. And
I think he's
keep your eyes I think you should just keep your eye on Leaky pretty soon. And here's another interesting little rumor that's reached my ears, and I think it might be worth noting, that they're going to be, like we're talking about little doing scenes, that I'm hearing that possibly they're actually going to film the scene with Basilisk and the Basilisk Fang and Ron and Hermione in the Chamber of Secrets.
No, wait, what?
That wasn't even really seen.
That was such a huge set for them. That was like the area that they built the ministry in.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they won't do it on the set. Maybe they'll just be like a real quick, you know, them coming out. But the fact that they may be doing that kind of stuff.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, they were just going to brush it over like they did in the book, where they're just like, hey, where have you guys been? Oh, we went to the Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, that whole scene when they did kill that Horcrux with the cup will be awesome, though. I think that'll be. But I want them to go into the, you know, to the. I'm so looking forward to Gringotts. I can't even stand it. I think that'll be.
Oh God, yeah.
Amazing.
Wait, I know what the cup could do.
Yeah.
It could turn into a golden house elf and run away because it's Helga Hufflepuff's cup.
Oh, good.
Hey.
Little transfiguration.
Yeah. Why not?
Oh gosh.
So that's what all I got this week, but I think that's...
That was pretty good rumors.
I think so.
I want them to give a part to Patrick Stewart.
I know. Oh. I wanted him to be Zeno for the longest time, but, I mean, now Zeno's been cast.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and Star Trek. I loved him. So good.
So good.
They were all in Family Guy last week. It was the funniest Family Guy I'd ever seen, I think, in years.
Yeah.
They reunited the entire Star Trek cast. It was so awesome.
Nice.
All right, well, is that all we have
for
the news?
Yeah, that's all we got. That's all for the news. We're done.
Well, then, why don't we cue the music and the news and stir up some games?
Ooh!
Are we ready to play some games?
Yay!
Okay.
Are you smarter than our John? No, we test your knowledge and be on a showy. Knowledge, knowledge, never on the air. Are you really as smart as you claim? Are you smarter than our John? No, we. If you think so, you'll be on a showy. J.K. Rowling's given all the clues. Now are you smarter than our Big J?
And we're here with a fun and games segment we like to call Are You Smarter Than Me? Now, see, this is why I can't introduce it, because I am not going to talk in the third person.
Well, I don't know. Frankie, you do it then.
Are you smarter than John? No!
And we'll have you on the showy.
Yeah, are you smarter than John? No, we.
No, we.
Call you up on the showy.
And,
my voice is deeper than normal because of my illness.
Aw, yeah, Frankie, you don't sound very good today, poor guy.
I feel okay. I just have a really deep, sultry voice.
Mm.
My sticky shoes.
Sexy femme.
You sound like, you know, Barry... I see you're the Barry White of Pottercast.
Yeah. Oh.
Six.
Why do you step on me? A-B. Anyway. So, are you smarter than John? No, we... So we're going to be calling people up from the chat, yeah?
Yeah, it's the name of the game. We are going to be bringing some people in to see who is smarter than all of us. And to do that, you need to have an account on Skype. And, let's do it to it. Everybody Twittered Sue and Frankie some questions.
And make sure you guys Twitter the answer and your Skype name. Well, I guess you don't have to do your Skype name, but...
Oh, your Twitter name, yeah, I mean, because you'll see it when it's your name, right?
If you'd rather us call your phone, if you have a landline or a good connection, we can do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, are we ready? Let's call somebody. Do we have any questions ready to go?
Yeah. Frank, did you see that question?
Yeah, that's hard, though, but yeah, go for
it. Is it too hard? I don't know.
I vaguely remember who it is, and...
It might be hard.
We have his name, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool beans.
All right, let's bring in the first one here. First contestant, you're being called right now.
Yes.
As we speak. I hope you pick up. I hope your stream is muted.
Hello?
Hi, what's your name and where are you from? Hello?
What's your name?
My name's Arca.
Hello, Arca.
Hello.
Are you smarter than John Noe?
Probably.
Oh, well, we're going to find out, Arca. Where are you from?
Missouri.
Woo! Represent.
What house are you?
I am a proud Ravenclaw.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, Arca. Here we go. They're gonna read the question, and I am going to think about it and type it to them. And then when I have one, you can give your answer.
Okay.
Here we go. This is exciting.
Okay, here we go. When they, the trio, went into the Ministry of Magic, they were polyjuiced.
Uh-oh.
Who did Harry polyjuice himself into? Who was
that? Oh, I think I know this. Crap. I'm just listening to this. Oh, it was this big, scary guy.
That is not qualifying. At least you didn't answer.
It's not qualifying.
That was from Nipi. Nipi and Danzig are both SM. Nipi. Why do people give me these hard names, man? I don't know. I'm saying your name wrong.
I don't know. This I think it just sounds like this, but...
Okay, now it's time for you to say yours out loud. Go ahead.
Is it Albert Runcorn?
Oh, that's it!
Like that.
Oh, excellent. John had it typed wrong. You were so close, dude. You were so close. Good job.
I had Rugthorn.
I mean, I had no idea. I thought it was too hard. I would have got that wrong.
Well, I would have not had any idea had I not just recently listened to that one, too, but...
Well, Runcorn, remember Runcorn? You were so close, though. That was very good. That was really good. Well done, both of you. Well played.
Yeah.
Okay. But you are smarter than John Noe.
Arca wins!
Yay!
Hey!
Arca, were you the one that made the video recently?
I am.
Has everybody seen the bravest cat you ever knew?
Oh, that
was you that made it. Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was pretty good.
I'll have everybody know that while I did get the ministry guys to sing a few bars of The Bravest Cat You Ever Knew, I neglected to get it on tape, sadly enough. But that's all right. We'll see them again. Anyway, thank you, Arca. You were smarter than me. I feel silly.
Thanks.
See you later. All right. Let's bring in somebody else here. Let's call
Frankie, you got one?
Let's call a phone number here.
I have one question. Yeah, it's not the most intriguing, but I enjoy it.
Okay, rock on. I can't wait. Guys, keep sending those in. We like this.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm from Missouri. I'm another Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
More Ravenclaws. We're just going to take over.
We are going to take over.
Go Ravenclaws.
We're pretty cool. This might be a little easy for a Ravenclaw, but...
Oh, jeez.
You guys ready for the question?
Let's hear it.
What came first, the phoenix or the flame?
Oh.
Oh.
You want the actual answer that Luna gave?
Yes. Or your answer, if it's better. But wait for John to type it.
The phoenix or the flame.
Wow, this is a great one. This came in. Wow.
I actually know it, I think.
Of course you do.
Actually, I do know this.
Wow.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if John got this one.
You're so good. That was a backhanded compliment.
By the way, Frack, I love peanut butter waffles.
You do? Aren't they the best?
They are the
love
best.
Love peanut butter waffles. I've had this as a kid. Okay, John. Okay, now what's your answer?
Wait, are we asking?
John already gave his, so what's yours now?
Okay. I think that it is a circle that has no end.
Correct. You guys both got it right.
Woo!
It doesn't have a beginning or an end.
Excellent.
John got a question right.
Excellent.
Yay. Now you guys both may proceed to the Ravenclaw common room.
Woo!
Yes.
You are as smart as me. That's not too bad. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for playing.
You're welcome. It was fun.
You win 10 of my leaky points.
Yay.
Arca does as well. I just forgot to tell him. Alright, bye.
Bye.
Let's bring in somebody else. Woo! Who wants to play?
Bree, you have one?
I can't think of it. I'm having a mind block of good questions. Like, I can think of some, but they're all like, oh, wait, that's really easy.
Okay. What do you think, Frankie? What do you think about that one?
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, that was a good one. One of our Twitterers. I love you. Thank you, people, for Twittering me. Thank you. Thank you. Coming up with some awesome, awesome questions.
All right, let's call out again.
Hello?
Hello.
All right, well, what's your name and where are you from?
I'm Olivia, and I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yay, North Carolina.
That's where Jay and Jack are.
Is that Lost Podcast thing?
Yeah, it's really fun.
I've never listened to it.
What house are you?
Ravenclaw.
Wow, it's all a bunch of Ravenclaws. What?
All Ravenclaws.
They all think they're smarter because they're Ravenclaws. Well, we're going to see about that.
Well, it's possible.
What is the question?
Okay, this is a courtesy of one of our great listeners who Twittered me, Marzipans, and this is the question, what is the charm that is used to make the galleons for Dumbledore's army?
Oh, snap.
Snap. They talk about this a lot.
Darn it, I'm going to know it as soon as I hear it.
I know.
Oh, not the charm. Something to do with duplicating.
I'm having a hard time remembering it as well. I know it, though, and it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, John.
There's mine.
I like it. Okay, it's your turn. Let's hear the answer.
Hey, John, I have no idea.
Really? Really? Okay, it starts with a P, John. Can you guess it? P. Pro?
P.
Pro.
Oh, protean?
That's it. It is protean charm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a really difficult charm, and that's why when we learned that Hermione was almost turned into Ravenclaw.
Yes.
That's
yes.
a very cool
and,
charm.
Yeah, didn't Draco end up using that too?
Yep.
Yep.
The old protean charm.
Yeah, he did with Crab and Goyle.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, sad to say that it's not the Ravenclaw day at the moment, but you still get 10 points for playing with us. Thank you very much. Are you
yes,
also Ravenclaw,
you.
My Leaky?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, well, make sure everybody who's played with us has Twittered Pottercast with their name and whether or not they were smarter than me. But you can all say you're smarter than me because chances are I give you enough,
ooh, this is a good
enough
question.
Questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you.
Can we have a? No I have a good question.
Okay, good.
We need a contestant.
Oh, that one's good too, Bree. Let's do. We have at least two more questions.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at the next Skype name I see in the chat.
That's the one I was thinking of, Sue.
Really? I think that'll be.
But I was looking at it on the Twitter thing. I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
That's a good one.
I think
Little
so too.
Symphony. It was a good one, Little Symphony.
It was very good, Little Symphony. Very good.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Where are you calling from? It's loud.
I'm calling from the UK, England.
Oh, that's probably why it's so loud, and it's got a long way to travel. Well, what's your name? And you're from England. Awesome. What's your name?
My name's Tilly, and I'm in Ravenclaw.
Yay!
Oh, yay, all the Ravenclaws.
This explains why they were like typing Ravenclaw like 7,000 times earlier in the chat.
Wow, it is heck of late for where you are right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite late.
Oh my gosh.
It's quite late.
Well, it's a Saturday night. That's as good a thing to do as any.
Well, but thank you for staying up.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people from the UK listening to us, so thank you very much. It's very decent of you. Very kind. Appreciate it.
Okay, Bree, why don't you ask your question?
Oh, okay. What year or years were Lily and James born?
Holy moly.
I like math questions, apparently.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm not
hard,
mistaken.
Though.
Let me try to work this out.
Well, we kind of saw it, like, written out, didn't we? Think the book. Hint, book. Last book.
It's really hard.
Snake.
I really don't know. I thought Harry was born in 1980.
They're older than me. Is that a hint, John?
No. I don't know.
You fail.
All right. Was I way off?
Hold on.
Frankie's was right. Where's yours? Ooh, okay. Do you have your answer?
Is it 1960?
Yes! Both of you tied!
Oh
right,
my gosh!
Woo!
Oh my gosh, you guys. Harry's parents and my parents are the same age.
My mom was born in 1962.
My dad was born in 1960 and my mom 59.
Oh, my mom's 64.
I have a 63 and a 62.
It's a good year.
Yeah, it is.
Good year to have relations and children's. Good time.
Hey, man.
Well, lots of people are as smart as me today. This is a good day for me.
Well done. Well done.
You win 10 points for your house, Tilly. Thanks for playing. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, do we have one more?
Yeah.
Yeah, one more.
Okay. Let's get somebody who is smart. Smart, smart.
This is a tough one.
All right.
Are we going to ask that one, Frankie? You going to do that one?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hello.
Hey, is Hagrid
Hello?
There?
It is. Hagrid's here.
Hagrid. Oh, it's Hagrid.
We're going to see if Hagrid is smarter than John Noe.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
Nice. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi, how
Michael,
you doing?
Podcast editor and Hagrid extraordinaire.
Nice. Yay. Hi, Michael.
How are you?
You put up with us each week. That's awesome.
No, it's fine. Really.
Can you hear his voice? Michael has a very lovely voice in many reasons.
Oh, thank you.
Quite lovely, you know.
Aww. It's very deep, too.
Yes. Very deep voice.
I'm waiting to be Kingsley Shacklebolt.
Nice.
Oh, excellent.
Uh-oh. Spoiler.
No, no, it's not a spoiler. It has to be written in first.
How's things going with the acting troupe?
Going good. And the thing is, I'm not in episode 4.
No.
I have a character in episode 4. It's sad.
So now we know how Jason Isaacs feels when he's not in every movie.
Well, it can be easily explained. He's probably just fixing his head up again.
Yeah.
I'm not in Azkaban, though, so I'm just in my hut.
Bonus. Oh, he's in his hut. Okay.
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 Name all the Horcruxes in order of being destroyed.
Oh, okay.
We'll give
I
you some time to think about this.
I think I can do it. Okay, the first one.
Wait. Type it out.
I'm typing it.
Get it
typing
it. Type.
Feel free to write it down, Michael, if it helps.
Oh, yes.
But then make sure to read it back to us because we can't see what you're writing down. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. I thought it was funny. I'm like, okay, no one thought that was funny. Never mind. Katie!
I listened to that like 2 days ago and I was luckily alone in my room.
I don't know what got into me.
Oh, wait a second. I'm confused about something now.
Yeah, this is tricky, folks.
This is tricky.
This is going to really expose some really lack of understanding of the camera.
You know what you should do? No, but you know, people at home or that are listening to this, just do it yourself. You know, I mean, because it's really, really hard. You just get a piece of paper and write it down yourselves. You know,
yeah, I'm kind of upset that I read it first because I would have gotten something wrong.
Yeah, it is. You know, we think, oh, well, that's easy enough to do, but it is. It's kind of a challenge. So, you know, of course, though, I mean, a lot of people have read it a million times. But I don't know. I get something special.
All right. Somehow I'm one short.
It's somewhat of a trick question as well.
It is kind of a trick question.
Well, yeah. And I've got that taken care of, too, I think.
John, thank
you. The trick part of it. Trying to get points for Gryffindor.
You're Gryffindor there.
Yes.
Why am I one short? I only have 6.
You're missing something that might... I want to give hints to both.
Michael,
John.
Where are you from?
I'm in Chicago.
Nice.
Chi-town.
It's beautiful. Are you a Cubbies fan, too?
I am a Cubbies fan. Go
are
Cubs.
Are they not the ultimate Hufflepuff team, if there ever was?
They really
I love
are.
My Cubs, but you know.
They never make it to the Quidditch finals.
No.
No, they're fine. They have a good squad this year.
Yeah. All right, I give up.
You give... No, you don't.
No.
You just type it in, John. You have to go.
Okay.
I mean, I still have to get it right, too, John, so...
Wait. John.
What? One of them...
Wait, why do you have that in there?
What?
One.
He's being funny.
I know he is, because he's always funny. That's how John... We
okay,
love
why don't you
John.
Go, Michael?
Oh, wait, I totally didn't even notice that. For some reason, my brain just skipped right over it. Like, avoid John, no joke. Skip.
Okay, so here we go.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Harry destroys the diary.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Dumbledore destroys the ring.
Oh, dang it.
Uh-huh.
The ring.
Ron destroys the locket. Hermione destroys the cup. The fire creatures destroy the tiara. Dumbledore destroys... No, excuse me. Voldemort kind of kills the hairy one with that curse, and then Neville destroys Nagini.
God dang it.
Very
I couldn't
nice.
Think of the
excellent.
Ring.
Very well done.
Oh, the well. Little Symphony, though, she got it out of order.
She did,
got,
didn't
she? She put a diamond in the cup. Wow.
Up first.
Good call.
Yes, the cup is definitely first. Well done, Michael.
Sporting hat.
I forgot about the ring, so I just threw in a random thing. diary, locket, sorting hat, cup, diadem, scarf.
It's one of those questions like asking, you know, name the 7 dwarves. You're like, oh, I forgot one.
I didn't do that for school once. It was weird.
That is. And it's actually hard. You do a trip, you know, like do it in like 10 seconds, name all the dwarves, you know? I mean, it is hard.
Yeah, and see, I would so totally not be able to do that.
You know.
All right. Well, Michael, You've won 20 points for Gryffindor for doing the hard question. You are smarter than John Noe, and you get to edit this segment. Yay!
Yay! You can listen to your own voice.
I'm glad to do it. Glad to do it.
This is that's probably the most difficult segment we do. Honestly, I think it really is.
So is his revenge for doing it?
Oh, he was going to do it either way, wasn't he?
Yeah, probably. It's fine.
All right. Well, congratulations. Thanks for playing, Michael. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we are wrapping up. Smarter than John Noe, but that is not all the games for you all. We're about to do a little Canon Conundrums.
And now it's time for Canon Conundrums. Listen in as our panel tries to figure out one specific issue from the Harry Potter canon.
Who could possibly figure that out?
Alrighty, guys and gals, it's time for another Canon Conundrums.
Woo!
With myself, and a Frankie, and a Sue, and a fake Melissa named Bree.
Bree.
Bree. It is me.
And Bree Melvin.
Fake Melissa Bree Melvin has the topic for us this week. Lay it on us.
Mm-hmm.
It's talked about, like, in the books all the time how the whole pure blood thing never worked out because they would die off. But I'm wondering, like, how depleted did their population actually get for them to die off? And it makes me wonder, like, the actual population of wizards in the world and how it ever even get that far to begin with. We could talk about other magical countries.
Like other magical communities? Yeah. What other magical communities and countries do we know about, and how do we know this?
Well, we know from the book four. The book said a lot about the international cooperation and whatnot, especially with the other schools and just the Quidditch World Cup. And then even in the Quidditch book for charity, they refer to the American school, the Salem Witchcraft School or something like that. So we know of at least four or three other canon schools. So you can assume that, and I would imagine there's more than one in America.
Especially since that was like all-girls school, too.
Yeah.
Which one?
The Salem Witch Academy. It's only witch.
It was all-girls school?
Well, it said Witch Academy, so I assumed it was, and the group was all girls who were, like, giggling at the World Cup.
I wouldn't doubt the fact that there might only be one school, regardless of how big your country is, just knowing how easy it is to get around as a witch or a wizard. So, like, I would say that Hogwarts
but
is probably
Young wizards can't get around easy. That's why they take a train in.
I was going to say, I could see how we quantify Hogwarts as being very, you know, conservative in the old ways and the ritual of the train, but they could magic these kids there if they put wizarding thought into a way to transport people.
Well, there's port keys and then there's flu powder.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if you wanted a way to reliably get a student body to and from, then you'd have decades to figure it out.
Yeah, I would imagine that flu powder isn't an issue, wouldn't be a part of America for some reason. I don't know why.
They're not really giant fireplace people.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just me just being difficult. But,
I wonder what the differences would be between Wizarding America and Wizarding Britain.
I was having this discussion the other day. There was, like, a video on my YouTube channel about this. But we thought that they would actually be more in America, not just because they're, like, bigger in population, but because they're a mix of every other country, so it's more likely that they would get, like, a lot of muggle-borns just thrown in there through genetics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense.
I like that.
A lot of muggle-borns,
Like, what are the real differences between, you know, America and Britain as people?
You know, where I know that in over again during the book four, they talk about brooms and versus flying carpets and how they were illegal in Britain, and so like even those social differences, and they kind of made fun. They refer to that on the acting trip, which was fun, and they when talked about how like I prefer to fly on a carpet than a stick, and I'm like that was funny.
Totally.
The Middle East would definitely use carpets a lot more than brooms.
I like someone said in the chat here that America would have flying cars. See,
well,
I
don't understand, like, I mean, this is a fascinating conversation, but what does that have to do with, like, their extinction? I mean, just because they're mobile, I think it'd be more concerning on whether or not they're, like, is America more open with their Muggle counterparts or, like, each culture, you know, because, like, there's so many different communities. I mean, that was exhibited at the Quidditch World Cup. So, I mean, I think it's really cool because she was talking about possible extinction, like, maybe back, like, when, during the First War, when Grindelwald, and mm-hmm. I wondered, because now we live in a world that is just like everything's global, we have the internet, you know, like you and I are doing, so everything's connected, but I wonder even back in during the First War how isolated and insular each of those communities were. And for me, that's really kind of, I thought that was kind of an interesting you know, and I thought maybe they did get closer to extinction or just were more threatened back then than they are now. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, back then, it was the same time as World War II, so Germany was bombing Britain. I like to think that the wizards were involved in that, because it would have been threatening them as well, to have bombs being dropped on them.
No, sure. Yeah. Wizards don't care for bombs too much.
But also, like, with Voldemort, I mean, he killed off a lot of people, so then it's like, oh, you have to repopulate Britain, and Hogwarts doesn't have a huge population of kids. It's always seemed very low, I think.
Yeah.
And I thought it was because of Voldemort.
Yeah. But you wonder, though, too, how much, like, information they had. Like, you know, Fudge, like, let's look what happened during, you know, he did his best to say, oh, no, Voldemort's not back, you know. So you kind of wonder what the prime ministers were doing during the first reign of you know, Grindelwald. I mean, how much information has were gotten out to them, you know, even back then? I don't know. I just, you know, I guess it goes into what you're talking about, transportation and moving around, but I just kind of wonder their methods of communication, because Joe was so clever in Deathly Hallows to say how they used, like, you know, the Potter watch and how the Quibbler. I mean, we were just talking about that in our old Bit by Bit. So I just kind of wonder, I mean, what do you think? Was it more prevalent back then? Was they just have, like, secret owls going to each other? I don't know how that would be.
Well, they had radio back then as well.
Well, yeah. But do you think there was an underground that they used it back then, too, to help fight against Grindelwald?
Probably.
I think there had to be something, or at least if there wasn't an underground, there was an open movement against him. Like, I don't think I don't think Grindelwald rose to the power that Voldemort had. Like, he was on his way there, and then I think Dumbledore kind of stepped in and stopped it before it got to the point where Voldemort achieved. You know, like, Voldemort was pretty much running the Ministry of Magic, and then now, once he had Britain, he was bleeding into the other, his goal was to bleed into the other, you know, places. And I could be way off, but just from my, you know, impression, I knew that he was up in near Bulgaria or whatever, doing his thing, but I think Dumbledore interceded before he had gotten to the point that Voldemort achieved, you know what I mean? And so, like, it was easier and just more accepted, and just people, like, to be, like, against him openly, because he was viewed as a villain. He wasn't this vague, abstract, like, leader or, like, a puppeteer. Because Voldemort was smart. He had his lackeys, you know, be the front man for him for a long time, because that allowed him to play both sides of the coin. And so I think Grindelwald was just more cared about, you know, he was just, like, Grindelwald was, like, honestly, he was crazy, you know what I mean? Like, Voldemort was more malicious, in my opinion. I think Grindelwald kind of started believing his own lies, and under my impression, he knew what he was doing the whole time.
Do we know? You raise a good point there, Frankie. Voldemort was more malicious because he tried to exterminate people, right? I mean, did Grindelwald do that? Do we know that? I don't think. Yeah.
Well, Grindelwald was about, like, the whole, when we learned it was the whole greater good thing, and honestly, I think he started believing his own lies, because he was able to, he made a Horcrux or something like that, or I don't know, but he was repentant towards the end, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, well, at least that's what I got from the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't think how Voldemort went down, he pretty much, you know, killed himself, so I don't think he was with the whole, like, communities and whatnot. I think it was a little different back then, and I think that is what caused a lot of the Muggle mingling, and then now it's just a little more accepted, because, yeah, you can't be purebloods, you know, it's just kind of, you can't have them constantly that way, because you'll just start, you know, I think a good example is to think of, like, royalty, you know, old royalty, like, you know, people would marry their cousins and whatnot, and, like, the bloodlines got so thin.
Yeah.
Well, look at the Gaunts. They were all insane.
Yeah, exactly. The Gaunts, there you go. Yeah. Perfect example. The Gaunts. It's like, oh, you're a pureblood. Okay, like that means you have, like, diversity in genes is actually a very good thing.
Yeah.
See, for me, you know, too, you know, Brie, you were talking about how much are they now. I hope that there are more intermingling. Because, you know, like Joe was talking about in Beautiful Bard, like, you know, she was talking to McGonagall. Don't you just think now that maybe the walls are down a little bit more and there's more just like, I don't know. Maybe I
think especially in the epilogue, I mean,
yeah,
there are a lot more kids running around as opposed to before. I think so. I think it's finally like in a time of peace after, you know, they're not all being wiped out, battles of Hogwarts and whatnot, that they can finally repopulate.
Exactly.
Hey, John, is Dawlish a pureblood, or is he, does he have muggle blood in him?
Dawlish is very secretive about this, because Dawlish is sort of above the whole prejudice kind of thing, so no one
knows.
But you'd imagine he's got very powerful magical genes.
Oh, I see.
But I see his having descendants from Italy, as myself.
I see.
But probably very powerful wizards in Italy, I'd imagine.
That's where our Melissa is right now.
It is.
I have a quick question, I guess.
Okay.
What if like, say my mom's a witch and my dad's a muggle, and I'm a muggle? Am I a muggle or a squib?
Say muggle.
Yeah, because I always thought it was like too magical, right?
Yeah. That makes sense. Because if a squib's the opposite of a muggle born, then I guess it'd be half too magical. Yeah, you're good. There you go.
Okay.
Answered.
Yeah, done. And I'm thinking back to the more when we were talking earlier about Americans' magical society. I have to wonder, like as you said, like how much newer of a country we are compared to pretty much everybody else, especially, you know, Britain and everything, and you think about...
Yeah, Hogwarts has been around for 1,000 years.
Exactly.
They've been around for 200.
How far history we even have for magical world.
What if Salazar... That's where Salazar went.
Ooh.
And he left. That was 1,000 years
actually,
ago before America was there.
That's
but,
a good idea. I like that.
He went with the Vikings. I was just thinking that, Brie. Wow, that was uncanny. Magic almost.
What about the Native Americans?
Well,
I'd imagine their magic. I imagine they would have their own form of wizardry, as well as ours. I when I saw the fourth film and Durmstrang had those sticks. First, I was like, "That's dumb," and then I was like, "Ooh, that'd be kind of cool if instead of they use wands, they use stabs." Because you know how books that wizards have stabs.
Sure.
I was like, "That'd be kind of cool. Different cultures use different ways to focus magic." But
I think so. I think it's. That is a brilliant line, Frankie. I agree I like that a lot. That they use they channel their magic in different forms. I think that's an excellent idea.
Well, if you think about it, I would think that magic existed before there was wandsmen to figure out how to make wands.
Because it's more of a channeling through them thing than them creating it.
At some point, someone had to decide, well, maybe we can use a wand, but probably,
different.
Well, why a wand? What if we use a big staff? I would imagine
that in Native American culture, the animagus form would be much more common.
Oh, yeah, because
probably.
They're really into that.
That's good. That's very good.
Very good. Oh, I like that idea.
And then, like, it'd be interesting just to think of the different, like, Native American and then, like, Eastern magic.
More like Salem style immigrant magic.
Yeah, like China and everything.
Yeah, China would have a lot. I think Africa would have a lot as well.
I think Africa would be very similar to the Native American.
Yeah, a little bit different style.
Yeah, and Egyptian magic, established that they were powerful wizards back then.
That's right, and some of them are lost.
Bill went to Egypt, too.
Richard Alpert, sorry.
Yeah, Richard Alpert. America.
It seems like we'll just be so distracted with so many other things that, like, we're not really in tune with the magic.
Surely.
Much as other countries.
No, I don't say that, just because it's hidden. You know, it's just, you know, I think we'd have our own, just how American culture has its own things and the things that we've adapted, I think the magic would reflect that. Like, England would probably be much more traditional in their magic, and, like, America would just be much, you know, have newer forms or be more about potions or be more about, you know.
See, the whole international thing is an interesting thing because I always wondered, like, at what point would things have gotten so bad for people in wizarding, you know, England and everywhere else where they would have said, like, hey, don't we have allies that could help? Like, isn't anybody paying attention, like, internationally, like, to the relationship?
Yeah.
Like, like if they had constant things in the, what was Dumbledore a part of, the International Confederation of something, witches and wizards or whatever it was, but like wouldn't this federation like realize at some point that the government talking to them was corrupt by dark wizards and think, well, maybe we should help?
Well, then again, like with Voldemort, I mean, he was hiding most of the stuff from people in Britain itself.
But they all knew. Well, I mean, people...
Yeah, they all knew, but it makes me wonder how much the other countries would know.
I guess it just depends on like how often there's a dialogue between the other countries.
Well, if they were having a hard time communicating to each other within their own country, you can imagine it'd be much more difficult to communicate with outside their country, too. So I think just strategic-wise, you cut communication in war. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you're going to attack somebody. And so I think they could have just easily just really limited or monitored the contact of the outside wizarding world. I'd imagine, though, that it'd be harder to do that with magic.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there are networks set up that they can monitor.
Yeah. Do you think wizards and witches embrace any of the Muggle technology?
I think some.
In America, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it seems like they don't have anything as good as the internet for communication.
You know, Joe said like years ago that there was something better than the internet that the wizards had that was like equal to it, and it never came up. And I always wondered what it was.
Wasn't the Wizarding Wireless?
Was it? Because that's just a radio station.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was something to do with, like,
I don't know,
using the Patronuses to communicate,
yeah.
But it's like, what the hell? I could go on and, you know, hijack Leaky and make a post, and thousands of people will know exactly what I just said, but would I have to make, like, you know, 1,000 Patronuses to tell all those many people that same message?
Patronus Maxima. Expecto Patronum.
What the hell would that do? Oh, my God.
Giant stag.
Would it be giants or just like a bunch of them?
I think it'd be a giant. But look at McGonagall. She did 3. Ah!
Yeah, that was cool.
I love McGonagall. I have a hot
three little silver cat fancy.
She's the only person that I think has her Patronus, like versions of her own animagus, like even looking like herself.
Well,
I find it to be funny.
But then again, how many have we seen who are both animagus and doing a Patronus? I don't know.
True story.
Them.
You got me again, fake Melissa.
Ah.
Do we have any final parting thoughts?
It's really interesting. Like, I love this kind of stuff because it's just, like, this is the kind of stuff I would just love to sit down and have tea with Joe and ask her because I know that she either has it all figured out already,
yeah.
Like, oh, it'd be this, or she'd be like, well, because of this, because of that, it has to be this, just logical.
Sure.
And I love the fact that her fiction is
mm-hmm.
so logical.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes, eat it up.
Well, yeah, if we're sitting around thinking about it, surely she has at some point thought about all this stuff.
She did. She said this, and if we've, a long, long time ago, and I remember seeing this video clip a long time ago, she let, I think it was the BBC in her study, and she didn't let them zoom in closely, but she literally has boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff that she wrote all out in the years that she was waiting to get published for this story. All the backstories, like she has a whole thing on the history of the Death Eaters, completely written back all the way out. So hopefully that'll be kind of thing, Frankie, that you're talking about, that she'll put
in. Who made the first wand?
You know?
Who made the first wand, how they come across it, like, did someone trip and fall on a branch and, like, over a unicorn and, like, it just kind of fell on top of each other and was like,
that would be
like,
awesome.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Somebody
your wood has landed in my unicorn hair.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine, though? I mean, I hope she puts that in the Scottish book. I really, really, really do. I hope. I think maybe if we're lucky, we'll get
Scottish,
it. You know?
The Scottish book needs to be the Scottish set.
Yeah, totally.
Honestly.
It's like a encyclopedia
exactly.
Set A through Z.
Like I'd love to be at the midnight release party in like 2020 for like Hogwarts, you know, encyclopedia.
Volume G.
Volume G through K or whatever.
Turn it into a monthly subscription thing.
Amazing.
Oh, wouldn't that be incredible, Brie? That's an awesome idea. Like you're like once a month.
Wasn't there something like that in the early days?
Do we? Oh.
There's like some, I don't know, I wasn't on the internet around that time.
There used to be like these little fan clubs and things.
Yeah, there was.
There was actually some canon that Joe had made specifically for these little fan club newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah,
that doesn't even exist online because like the legal deal about how it was an exclusive to that fan club, Warner Brothers and them, or Scholastic doesn't want that to be published. So that's not even on any of the big encyclopedia sites.
It's just like the infamous get a clue card.
Never know.
All right, well.
Boo.
Digression to the extreme here. Thanks, everybody, for that awesome kind of conundrums. It's the end of the show.
Yay. It's the end of the show.
As we know it.
Everybody give a little round of applause for our fake Melissa number one.
Yay.
I thought this whole time you guys were lying, but I can actually hear the drums.
Oh, I know. Isn't it great?
Yeah.
I know. It's amazing.
You think it's editing, but it's not. It's part of the magic of podcasting.
It's totally magic because the chat can't hear it, but we all can.
Well, I mean, it's just us. We can hear it. It just helps us.
Well, they're not in the Skype call. They don't know.
That's true.
Well, anybody can, like, even if someone's in the room, if the four of us are talking, we're doing Pottercast in a live room of people, only the four of us are here anyway.
Yeah, totally.
It's automatic.
It's very strange. Like, even when we're all in the same place, like at a restaurant or whatever, the drums will play if we start talking about Harry Potter. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. See, Melissa can hear it right now, too.
Yeah.
So she knows we're wrapping up right
now.
She's in Italy, walking around, you know, the cobblestone and the river.
And the castle on Mount Pellegrino.
Tell it. Oh, Melissa's awesome. Okay, Melissa, who is, as we know, is in Italy, and I'm extremely jealous of her, but because I love her, I forgive her. Just kidding. Well, I mean, just kidding about being, you know what I mean. She Twittered a picture of Mount Pellegrino, and it had a castle on it, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a castle on Mount Pellegrino. It's like, it's the two most awesome things ever, and so it's my goal in life to live there, even if it's just for 5 minutes, I can say I live there.
Live there and, like, raise a herd of cats. Like, guarded.
A herd of cats?
Yes, guarded.
There was this old commercial.
That's the best way to describe cats.
There was this old MasterCard commercial where they were actually herding cats instead of cows.
That's frightening. Were they extra large cats, or are they just regular?
No, they were adorable cats. There were just like a million of them.
Whoa.
What? It's awesome.
It's a good commercial.
They would disappear into the forest, and I'd feed them with Pellegrino.
They'd probably explode.
They would guard the castle.
Aren't there, like, if you give, like, animals, like, bubbly things, like, they explode?
No, if you give a bird Alka-Seltzer, it'll kill it.
Isn't it a natural spring? So animals drink out of it.
Yeah, it's natural. And you know how it gets bubbly? Because it's magic.
Oh.
There you go. From a magic castle.
I thought there was, like, something wrong with the groundwater or something.
No. Magic. There's too much magic in the ground, that's why.
It's minerals and
so it has to release.
Is there also a Pellegrino spring somewhere in the Greek islands where this old single mother has a hotel? And it's kept up by her and her daughter. And
from her promiscuous lifestyle, and she doesn't know who her father is.
Very promiscuous lifestyle with a bunch of models running around working on the facility.
And an awkward
an awkward
But we know what the magic spell that brings it out is, don't we? Ready?
Yes.
And then you all get to dance.
Oh, man. We're going to have to watch Mamma Mia before tour.
Oh, yes. We should bring the DVD with us.
No, I avoided. I was thinking about seeing it, and then you guys said how horrible it was, so I avoided like the plague.
No, it's really
bad.
It's one of those movies that is so awful. It's
ridiculous.
Awesome.
Oh, God.
Exactly. It was so bad that it was wonderful. Like, towards the end, and it had to get progressively worse, so the ending was so obscene and absurd that it was just amazing. I was just like, what is going on? Like, honestly, it was just out of the blue.
The best part was is that they all went on my recommendation, so I was one that was embarrassed, because I'm like, this is going to be so great, you guys, and everybody kept looking at me like, you have terrible taste in movies.
I was so appalled.
Was your fault.
Yes.
I mean, Pierce Brosnan should not sing. It just should not be allowed. And then Frankie yelled that out loud. What is going on? I think I've never laughed so hard in my life. It was when he did that because I had no idea what's going on. After the priest was playing the xylophone during a wedding,
yes.
You're like, okay, we're in a whole new zone here.
We all lost at that point.
Yeah, it was.
so awesome.
Oh my goodness.
Anything else coming up this week to look forward to?
Well, in May, Melissa's going to be over here where I live, which is going to be cool. Are you in, John, are you in Frack coming up at all?
Up to where?
It's in May, right?
It's on a Sunday. It's on the 3rd.
I don't know.
I'm going to see if I can wrangle it. It's going to be one of those things depending on where I'm at with school.
You're busy.
Bree, I just want to say you did a very nice job on your video. If y'all hadn't seen her, she did a video last week.
That was an awesome video, yeah.
Mm, where editing's involved, and I'm less nervous about being honest.
No, it was really good. It was nice.
Very good work. And for everybody, by the time they hear this, they'll have already seen the next replacement Bree's video because replacement Bree. I always keep saying that. Next replacement Melissa will be Shoshana.
Yay, Shoshana!
Shoshana Lovegood. And she'll have her video up on Monday. And then after her, we have Miss Chicky! Surprise!
No.
No, I'm joking.
I was like, that's new.
I want to add her into everything now, though, because it's just so fun. Her name is actually Melissa, and it's Melissa something else. And she'll be Melissa number 3. And then we'll get the old, boring Melissa back after that.
Is she Melissa B. Nelly?
Anyway.
So, Bree, do you have any parting thoughts on your being on podcast? What do you think? Give us your thoughts.
I feel really weird talking back to the show. That's what it feels like.
Oh, I know how you feel, Bree, because I was the same way.
Yeah, exactly. So takes some getting used to. Obviously I'm a bit louder now than I was at the beginning.
No, that's cool.
Oh,
no.
But, yeah.
It's a whole different thing to have it live, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't see the chat, so it makes it like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't imagine if I was calling into like the Ricky Gervais podcast, I would not be able to handle it. I would just be freaking out. Like, there's no way. I mean, they're like on a whole other level than us, though. So I can't really compare.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys are just like fans, like the rest of us. And I mean, you just happen to be podcasters. And
well, for me, it was weird when because I used to listen to it and like talk to them or talk like, oh, I would say this here. And then I was like, I can say this here. Yeah, it's funny. If you guys go look at my blog back from like 2006, you can see me fanboying the show.
Frankie's blog, I recommend his blog. I'll plug his blog because his artwork is, he puts it on there every now and it's just magnificent. I just think.
I need to update it. I've been so busy.
Oh, doodle.
It's been like 15 days.
Well, I think it's time, guys.
Yeah.
Keep twirling those dials.
The next password is Mount Pellegrino. Phew!
Okay, keep each other safe.
Keep faith.
Good night!
Good night!
Yay!
We've missed it.
W is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when we're having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by the Podcast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on podcast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit podcast.com.
Well, I think it's time, guys.
Yeah, it's time. I'm tired.
I forget what part Melissa usually has.
She says keep
safe. Okay, you got it? You got that?
The keep safe part?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Until next time, guys, keep twirling those dials.
The next half? No.
I don't remember it. Darn it.
Oh, my God. All right. Hang up now,
Outtake.
Hang up now.
I don't remember it.
Okay.
We're deleting all our files because you ruined it. You ruined it.
Oh, shoot.
Darn it.
Leave now, you disgrace us. You've ruined podcast.
Some feelings are hurt. You'd think she'd know.
I'm not even going to read Harry Potter again, ever, because of you, Bree. You
ruined it. It doesn't really punish me as much as it punishes you.
What?
It punishes you more than it does me.
Just mean.
I know.
Okay, wait, let's start over.
All right. Oh, until next time, kids. Keep twiddling those dials.